Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord loves His people dearly. And those who are humble, He gives more grace to them, speaking to them in their heart. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gifts that was in his grandmother Lois. This means that the gifts are transferable. Now, Timothy, as a young man in the Lord, he saw his grandmother operate in the spiritual gifts. It was in his vision. It became his expectation. He saw her solve problems, even deadly problems, with the gifts that was in her. Help people live. Help people heal. Help people train in the Lord. Spiritual gifts are there to help us out, aid us in life. And just like anything of God, we grow as we use it. We grow and become skilled in those things. But in the warfare side of life, and the way people in the world, they run from the things of God. Proud people will have needs that can be easily solved by God. But because they won't humble themselves and go get help, they do it their way. And people are in place to help with spiritual gifts. So those who have spiritual gifts, sometimes you have to go out and find people to use them that can benefit from them. People don't always come running to you. That's why we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He can help us be attached to the people that can receive from us. He can help us. He'll give us wisdom for what to do. And there are people out there that will hear you, that will benefit from what God has given. So in the duration of time when people are not using the gifts, you kind of get used to not operating in that area. And you know, the term was coined, the phrase was coined, you get rusty. You know, if you let a bicycle sit in the weather, it gets rusty. And it takes a while for it to ride like it used to. You have to lube it up and work it a while. That's why Paul says, stir up the gifts that was in your grandmother Lois. These gifts were there. They were in you. They were in her. And Timothy, he instructed Timothy to stir it up again. And I used to wonder, what would happen if I preached every day? How much better would it be if I preached every day as compared to every few months or every week? What if we ministered more? What if we operated, had healing meetings more often, and people came with expectation? We would have a lot to talk about. It would be good and glorious. But because people are not Christians are not exactly willing as they should be. And the world is yet unwilling unless they see something. Some things we have to pray for. Now, my pastor, he's been talking about revival and also prayer and how the two are linked. Sometimes you have to force things by faith. They're not just going to come along the way they should go. Now, a man can have an idea, and he can say to himself, well, I think I'll just go down the street and try to find people that want to hear God. That's good. That's better than nothing. And sometimes it's not as good. It's not the thing to do. Because when God sends you, He'll train you. If you're not trained, you'll run into things that you don't have to run into. You have to be trained in the Lord to pull some things off. You know, there are men that was trained to minister to prostitutes, for instance. They were trained in the way that they should do it, and they did well. You have to be trained in how you deal with certain people. And we can't tell when they're ready to hear or not. Now, in the meantime, we can, as we go about our everyday routine, we can at least be kind to all men. We can live the life of God. We can do the right thing in the sight of all people. And that can win souls. You know, you can make a choice not to be slick, not to be deceitful, not to be cowardly, but to have full courage and bravery and temperance and kindness and love, grace and mercy towards all people. These are choices we can daily make. But when the Lord gives you something to do, that's going to work. You're going to have better results with what God gives you to do. And sometimes you can tell, you can see it right off. Sometimes it takes a while. God, the Lord sent Ezekiel to people. He told them they're not going to hear you, but tell them anyway, they might hear you. And they wouldn't listen. But there may have been a very few people that changed that way. Sometimes, you know, when Jonah was sent to Nineveh, the whole nation repented. The king made everybody and the animals fast. Everybody fasted. And they were spared. You know, just a few more hours or days, God would have rained fire down and burnt that place up because they had done enough. See, you can't go but so far with sin. You can go so far and then you can get to a point where something's going to happen because you've interrupted, you've sown things and you've got to reap it. And I say, they didn't have but Jonah may have got there at the last hour because the place God wanted him to be at and preach, that's where his anointing would have been effective. It was a 3-day journey. But when he was on his way, he went a 3-day journey in one day. God transported him so that he could preach in time, so that he could spare him and still be justified. See, Jesus said, whatever a man sow, that's what he'll reap. A sinner can't just continue to sin. Eventually, they'll do enough to merit death. And heaven's courts will say he's got to go now. He's done too much already. He's done his limit. The land of Ammon, the Canaan land wasn't, God didn't give it to Abraham until the sins of the Ammonites were full. Their sins weren't full yet, so God couldn't remove them out of their land yet. But when their sins were full, he could. All the Canaanites, all the tribes in Canaan had done enough sin and witchcraft and damage for God to send another nation and root them up and move them out or kill them. They were not good people. And the Gibeonites, they were wise in their way, and they were spared. They were wiser than the rest of the Canaanites. They knew that Israel was going to come take over that land. And they used deception to try to make a deal with them. And God honored the covenant that was made. When you make a covenant, when you sign your name, you're supposed to pay people. You're supposed to do right by the covenant that you put in motion. Signing your name to something should never be taken lightly. When you assume a loan, you know, you're assuming a loan. You don't know whether you'll live or die. But every payment should be paid on time. That honors God. If you make a covenant, keep covenant. Or don't make the covenant. There's so many people that they'll make a covenant, and then when they don't look good, they'll break it. But God loves us, and he has grace and mercy on us. When he comes back, all debts will be canceled. That's like the year of Jubilee. But I don't want to run up a bill knowing that I'm about to be taken off the earth. Because I love the people that will sell me merchandise. I don't want to do them wrong. I want all my bills paid before the rapture, if possible. Because walking in love is something we all should do. That's elementary. That's fundamental. But as we go forward in the Lord, growing in his ways, we grow as we do the things he gives us to do. As we're obedient, that's the best way to grow. So when you're in, as we follow God, God will give us a heritage. Even the people that are saved in our ministry is also a reward to us. You know, when you do right by people, a few, God's going to always increase you, and the angels will help you be linked to the right people that will hear you. And then God will grow up people to help you. You know, I've seen ministers. They get to a point, they're faithful, and the Lord is adding to the church people that can help them. Not just flock, not just members that's just going to be there and financially support, but he'll raise up new ministers to come and help the church grow in many ways. And many of them are equipped. But most of the time, and I'm sorry to say, the ministers were idle in church. Some were afraid to let them to utilize them. If a man has a calling in his life, I believe that, if he go a long time and the Lord don't give him an assignment, that's not good. That's not God's best. If the Lord don't give him an assignment, he should at least be training. And training takes time, but it don't take forever. Paul trained 3 years, and then he became activated. And the Lord taught me things over time. He would give me a time of learning, and then he'd give me an assignment that I could handle, and then a time of rest, and then he'd start training me again. I watched that, over a few years, I saw that pattern. He teach me teachings for months, for a few months, 6 weeks, a month, 2 months, and then he'll send me out with a message for 3 or 4 months. Then he'd give me a time of rest, and I meditate on what he's done. And he'll talk to me about things I want to know. And then he'll start talking to me about teachings that he wants. They'll come to me. I don't ask for them. That's why I said in the last broadcast, if you love to plan, just plan to obey God. And he'll fill in the blanks. That's following God. When he first called me to the ministry, I wanted to know some things about my ministry. And I went on a fast. I said, I'm not going to eat no meats and no sweets until I know what to do. And then there were some three guys on the radio, Ron, Jim, and Herb. They used to have a radio broadcast back then. And a man got called to preach just like me. And this is how I ended my fast, because they gave me my answer. And one guy, the minister, got out a sheet of paper and wrote down all the things he wanted God to do. And then he was going to write down all the things he wanted God to do, and he was going to write down all the things God wanted him to do. And then he was going to sign his name. But he wanted to know what he was doing. And he made a contract and a covenant, and he signed his name. He was going to sign his name. And the Lord told him to get out another piece of paper. And then the Lord said, now sign your name at the bottom, and I'll fill in the blanks. And that was my answer. And the Lord taught me about following him. I can't originate a plan. I can't give myself the assignments that will truly work. I can't give myself the teachings that will truly work. But I can yield to the Lord, and he'll fill in the blanks. He'll give me what to do. Every teaching has its own history. The way God taught me, there's a story about, there was something happening, and the Lord taught me what to do. And he gave me his wisdom. He gave me understanding. He brought it to me. Different lessons. And then he showed me visions of people. And he showed me, and then he gave me assignments. And I didn't just do things on a whim, because that won't work the same. I did what God gave me to do. Even the demons in Revelation, it was given them to torment me in 5 months. They had to have permission. It was given them to do certain things. They were bridled. They just couldn't go and attack everybody. Only the people that wore the mark. And this was to help people know not to receive the mark, so more people would have a chance of living, because everybody that take the mark, they cannot go to heaven. They belong to Satan. They sold their soul to him. And they can't undo it. They deny Jesus. That's one of the requirements of taking the mark. You don't just take the mark. You denounce Jesus Christ. And then you take the mark. Taking the mark is denouncing God and Jesus Christ forever. So you can buy food and medicine and clothes and live in your house, so the state won't take your belongings. So you can buy gas for a few more years while the earth is being set on fire. You know, when the church is gone, the main message is going to be believe on Jesus, but don't take the mark. And some people are hard-headed. Just like people won't get saved, if they won't believe God now, they probably won't believe Him under pressure. If the love of God won't cause you to desire salvation, I don't think nothing will. Danger won't. It might. When your world comes crumbling down, sometimes in Bible history, people used to repent. Not because they loved God, but because they knew God loved them. And they knew they were wrong. And they knew that their sins had run its course and it was not in their best interest. And then they cried out. And God is so good and kind and merciful, He will forgive them. And sometimes He got tired of them. He said, go seek your idols. I'm not going to rescue you this time, in Jeremiah 11. So it's important to know and value the things of God. The assignments that He give will work. He'll position you so that you'll be able to use the anointing that He's given you. And I used to wonder what would happen if I was able to minister every day. And since I've been doing all these broadcasts, my assignment was to do as many of these broadcasts as I can. So I do at least one. I try to do at least one a day. And sometimes I do two or three. And I do it with the time that I have. When Monday comes around, my week starts, and my week is full. But I managed to get these broadcasts done because I do it by the anointing. It's easy. When you're anointed, things are easy. You just have to take time and do it. So my questions are being answered. When you follow God, things get better and better and better. And it's unlimited what we're capable of. We can truly do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not. He will give you assignments. He will show you the best way to win souls and be a blessing to people. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.